Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I would be Steve King.
I'm Johnny Putman.
And producer, you are?
Producer Caleb.
And I'm Tom Hoots.
And this is our first time in the brand new studio. Can we scuff things up if we want to?
No. And I don't want you to do what you did before. That was carve your initials in the desktop, okay? You're not allowed to do that, Steve.
Do we ever tell you about the guy who actually did this?
What?
Yes, and it,
I was just being funny.
No. He didn't carve his initials. It was the station telephone number, and he did poor graffiti too.
This was at a Chicago radio station, WIND. They had literally just redone a multi-million-dollar studio, beautiful wood grain, blah 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 blah.
Blonde oak.
Yeah, and he couldn't remember the phone number, so he takes his pen and carves the phone number into the wood.
Oh, dear.
Last we heard...
Day number one.
Yeah. Last we heard, he was living on an island.
Yeah.
He was sent to an island somewhere. I mean, seriously, no one's heard from him since then.
Yeah, well, I think if I carved the phone number of the station in this desktop, I'd be on an island, too. That's just a summation on my part. So.
I mean, if we had a phone that functioned...
Yeah, okay. We still have some telephone problems, so please don't call us yet. We are brand...
Call.
Yeah, well, nothing will happen. But we are still putting a few things together. We have a little bit of a mashup later that has to do with this day in history and vitamin B, and we'll get to that a little later. But again, when you guys walked in, I was still running, draping wires around to actually make it work so we could hear it on air. We have a few things we need to work on yet.
But it's a beautiful studio, and it smells new. It smells like a new car when you walk in
it
here.
It does. Has that new car smell.
Yeah, we have all new paint and all new carpeting. And
So the whole ceiling had come down thanks to Michael, Hurricane Michael.
Well, not all of it was down. It was just all soaking wet and dripping on everything. Mm-hmm. The studio speakers we had before were on the floor underneath the desk in the old arrangement, and they absorb so much water that the wood on them just split.
Oh my goodness. We have
Mackie HR-824s that just split open. It was soaking wet in here.
Is it true that there were actually fish in some parts of this building?
We've had a problem when the tide comes in too far with us getting hermit crabs in the building. They come in through the floor pockets on the lower floor. I don't think we had any fish.
Because we ran into a woman last week.
A nurse whose husband works maintenance here. Mm-hmm. And I guess there are legends that...
She was saying that after the hurricane that they were finding fish in various parts of the building.
I could see it.
We have telecom feeds into this building and other underground electrical feeds and all sorts of stuff. And this stuff is, if you get at the outside of the building wet enough, there is a water passage, I'm sure, into the building because electrical conduit's not necessarily watertight. Because I have found hermit crabs downstairs.
So you go to college and get crabs. You hate when that happens.
I hate when that happens, yes.
Welcome to Florida.
That's right.
Yeah. What's the quote? Only in the panhandle, okay?
Yes.
Well, we drove by here the other day. We were commenting to our friends from Chicago about the architecture of this building. And we were sharing with them that wonderful day that we spent when we toured the rooftop of the building, where you had the solar panels and
the garden.
Didn't you have a windmill up there?
We have three windmills, which are still laying down. We had to take them down. These are actually turbines. They're wind turbines. And when you expect winds over 100 miles an hour, you're supposed to take them down. They go on special stands and get strapped down.
Oh.
Well, I think at 150, 200 miles an hour, the stands don't hold well because they've bent all the blades. They sit there and they sat there and they're monstrously heavy, but they sat there laying down, bouncing up and down, and they beat themselves up. So I don't know when we'll see them.
Wow.
All of the hot water, we had a hot water system for the building, solar hot water system for the building. It's just blown out. There's nothing left but the copper collectors. All the glass and all the inside of it's gone. Most of our solar panels blew out.
You may have talked about this in the past with Scott and some other people when we weren't here, but for some of the people who may be new to this conversation, what has Hurricane Michael taught you about what you're now going to do in the rebuilding phase of this radio station and this the buildings of the college?
We have rather elaborate plans for staging in new equipment. We're always in discussions where we all come up with new ideas. The people that actually live through it in the out at the EOC, we've already been out changing where things like switches and other internet devices get their power from, so that we don't lose contact ever with our tower again. There's discussions about how to do some more redundancy as far as our communications with the outside world, our communications with the tower, so that although we had a brief interruption, we're looking for zero interruption should this thing happen again. We hope it never does, but if something like this ever happens again, we want to look for zero interruptions in the station. There's a bunch of really good people who are good at their jobs who are doing this. So I expect that should, and God forbid, this ever happen to us again, that WKGC shouldn't even hiccup. And we will be practicing in the month of June. We'll get that date out as soon as we can where you can listen to us practice. We're going to do it during the morning mix where we go out to the our station at the Emergency Operations Center, and we go on our own internal power, and we'll run for an hour checking out that we know how to switch in, you know, we know how to switch under the gun. We know how to switch the station live so that we don't interrupt anything from a normal operation to an emergency mode.
Yeah,
we are going to practice. We have changed a lot, and over the next couple of years, we're going to change even more. You can't do it all at once.
We had an interesting conversation. This doesn't involve broadcasting, but our service writer at the car dealership locally where we've been going back and forth with our mouse problem, but that's another story. But
it's a rat.
It is not a rat.
But he had an interesting observation about Hurricane Michael and how in his world, how it completely changed his life. They are now looking at, they had some damage to their home. When the home is repaired, they're selling the home. They're buying a boat
to live on.
He will be living on the boat off the marina. And if there's a hurricane or something, he just picks up and he's going to sail away for a while and then come back.
Not me. Not enough room for my shoes.
I have it.
Or my guitars.
I have, yeah. First of all, take a large boat to get all those guitars on it. Second of all, boats are, having lived on a boat with a guitar, they're hard on guitars.
Oh, yeah.
Salt water. You have to also have stock in a string company, so, you know, because you're going to be putting new strings on them once a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
And when you have like 400 guitars, I wasn't supposed to say that out loud. When you have like 400 guitars, that's a lot of strings.
Actually, I'm signaling for a turn. A guitar turn segue. Uh-huh. MeTV down here.
Yes.
They just started running a new show. It is called
The Collector's Call. With Lisa Welchel from Facts of Life. She's the hostess of the show.
And a week ago, they stopped by the home of our friend Jim Peterick. Jim, who is the leader of the Ides of March and also was with Survivor, wrote Eye of the Tiger.
That's all you had to say was wrote Eye of the Tiger.
And they went through his collection of 193 guitars. That's for real. And it was just
They estimated it like $2 million, which we've seen it and said, no, that's quite low considering what he's got there.
But the show, at the end of the show, they come up with some collectible thing that they say, okay, will you trade your whatever, your best guitar,
we know you
best car,
you've always wanted this, so we found it for you.
But if you want to see a really interesting guitar collection, you can probably find this online. I think there may be some links. Just go to MeTV and look
for Collector's
Call. It's a real interesting show.
Or all you have to do is Google Jim Peterick, P-E-T-E-R-I-K, and the show comes up. It's a half-hour show. It's very well done, too.
Well, I don't want anybody to know how many guitars I have. At least not. I'm not going to say it out loud. Okay.
Okay.
That would be bad.
That would make it real then.
we're gonna take a quick break, yep. Play a little music because Caleb's over there with his finger hovering on the music button. And when we get back, we've got some interesting history today, and I have to say goodbye to a friend.
Steve and Johnny are in the studio along with Tom.
Yeah, we're still running into a few little problems here, but getting better every day. In a week or so, we'll have this new studio down pat, I think, Caleb.
And that's not our Beatles tune today.
getting better every time.
Yes. We'll use that once we start getting over the real rough spots. You have no idea what goes on off air in this place. But
and then you also have to use Chicago's Feeling Stronger Every Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why would you bring up Chicago? Oh, wait, I know.
Oh, yes, a week from today.
So anyway, I have a little... take a little short break here. I have some sad news, and the music community, which is a small and fairly tight community in Bay County, has lost another person. J.J. Cruz of Lynn Haven, a good musician, a great drummer, a good engineer, and the chief engineer and owner of Boogie Tracks Recording Studio, passed away this weekend at 42.
Oh.
I like J.J. Everyone should have, if you're in a town with two recording studios, you should have the other recording studio should be, you know, owned by somebody like JJ. We swapped equipment back and forth. There was, you know, we were always good friends, always willing to help the other person. I served on a committee here, an advisory council here at the college with JJ. He gave his time to the and his expertise to the music production technology program here at the college. Great guy. You couldn't ask for a nicer guy. And we lost him at a very, very young age. So, you know, nice to have known you, JJ. We'll see each other again sometime.
And obviously you have a longer history with JJ, but even with our comparatively short time in the Panhandle, when we would go into various music places, whether it's Lights or A Beat Better or any of the places, JJ's name came up quite frequently and always in the most positive frame of reference.
He was a great guy. Some of the best discussions on Facebook, and you can actually have friendly discussions on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We would discuss a microphone or miking a snare drum or something like this, and you would get engineers and musicians from around discussing what mic and what position and all that. And it was always fun because JJ was always part of those discussions. And like I said, very, very knowledgeable engineer. He's just a nice guy.
And incredibly young with a great long history. Yeah. I was just reading a little bit about him, and apparently he spent some time recording in Boston, mm-hmm. in California, but he came back home to Panama City, Lynn Haven, mm-hmm. and his studio, Brian McKnight, was one of the guys that he recorded, but there's a long list of great performers.
Huge list of great performers over there at Boogie Tracks.
He worked in Nashville for a while.
Yeah, he went to Berkeley. He went to L.A. and worked out in L.A. Yeah. for a while. He was, for somebody that young, he had a tremendous repertoire of experience there.
Hmm. Well, he will be missed.
He will be missed, and like I said, we have a very small community, and we mm-hmm. all know each other, and he will be missed.
Is any of his music available online, YouTube, whatever?
I'm sure music that he was one of the musicians of. I don't know that he ever recorded anything just of his own. That's not that I know of.
Right.
But I do know that he drummed a lot at his own. He was a drummer. Sometimes he was probably drumming on your on projects at his studio, and nobody ever knew it because he mm-hmm. was just fixing things. But I'm sure that a lot of the stuff that Boogie Tracks did, because he worked with so many well-known nationals, are available online.
Well, this is a Tuesday morning, and catching you up on a lot of things, including coming up at the passing of another person,
yeah.
that household name internationally. She will be a part of this morning's Vitamin B.
Exciting.
Yes, Caleb, we're going to do the weather. It is perfect. Now, this is border tourism weather.
Absolutely.
When we walked out today, I said, I am not going home next Tuesday. If it stays like this, this is perfect.
In spite of the fact that we got the car washed today, it's a beautiful
well,
day today.
It's probably raining outside now.
We're going to do a little bit of a segue now, but it's actually not as much of a segue as you would think. So bear with me. Doris Day passed away yesterday. Doris Day, if you look at and listen to her career, she had impact like a Bob Dylan, like a Stones. She was in umpteen successful movies. Her music career spanned the days from when she did things like Sentimental Journey up to Pillow Talk in the 50s, which was more of a rock-edged mm-hmm. thing. She had a voice that, unfortunately, would probably get her kicked off American Idol because she never did vocal gymnastics.
No,
she just
no vocal aerobics.
Sang. Mm-hmm.
Yes, a very. I mean, I listened to this cut that you asked me to dredge up for you, and one thing is excellent vibrato control, mm-hmm. And absolutely. These days there was no pitch correction, so absolutely great pitch control mm-hmm. as well, which are two of the things you want to always recognize in a singer.
And she was genuinely a good person. 97 years old, she passed away, and apparently she was in good health up until very recently when she contracted pneumonia. But if you go back to her early career, yes, she was a very successful singer. Then she became really an icon in Hollywood with her success. And it was during a period where Marilyn Monroe was also popular. And she was the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. She was the goody two-shoes. Marilyn was the sexy one. She was the virgin. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the 50s, the Marx Brothers came out with a great line about Doris Day. They said, we knew her before she was a virgin. Because then she became the image of the woman next door. You know, the little dimple in the cheek. And when she sang from the heart. And
her movie career really started by accident.
It did?
Because mm-hmm. there was a part that I believe it was Judy Garland that was supposed to play the part. And for health reasons, Judy Garland couldn't. Then there was somebody else they wanted to play, and they couldn't do it for whatever reason. So somebody who had worked with Doris back in the days when she was singing with Les Brown said, oh, take a shot. She went in. She was a natural. Mm-hmm. And one of the strongest pieces of advice that she got from one of her mentors was, don't learn how to act. Just be you. Mm-hmm. Just bring you to the screen.
It worked.
And that's what she did. And whether it was the romantic comedies with Rock Hudson or James Garner, or some of the things like with James Cagney, mm-hmm. Love Me or Leave Me, where she played a role that a lot of her fans said, ooh, what's that all about?
Oh, she had the...
She could act. She had
did.
The chops.
She sure did.
And we're tying Doris Day in with the Beatles, and you did some research and found that Paul McCartney was a huge fan of Doris Day's.
The first celebrity that got attention yesterday reacting to her passing was Paul McCartney, and I thought, that's just odd. Well, it turns out that they were friends, both very much animal activists, mm-hmm. very passionate about their causes, as well as being vegetarians, and so they bonded on that level. But apparently he went out to California and spent quite a bit of time with her in a home that he said housed literally hundreds of animals that were treated like royalty. I mean, it's one thing to take in the animals, but then to make their lives just so perfect. And that's what she was all about. In fact, with her passing, she had mandated that money not be wasted on a service and do not waste money on a grave marker for me, which that gives me goosebumps because, I mean... she is so beloved that I could see people going to her gravesite to pay tribute to her, you know? But she didn't want the money to be wasted on that. The money's going to continue. Her estate will continue to support animal rights and animal causes, which is just brilliant.
If you get the chance, you should read Doris Day's autobiography. On one hand, she was married several times, and she was taken advantage of by her managers, by her husbands.
Her son.
Who got her into a contract that was not a good contract, and he wound up taking millions of dollars.
Millions.
And she wound up having to do a very successful five-year TV series. The only reason she did it was to pay off all the bills
that the men
in her life had accrued.
Yeah, yeah. Really strange, because here she looks like such a strong woman, but five times, and if you include her son, she was taken advantage of by the men in her life. But it didn't make her bitter. I mean, she was strong in that respect.
Yeah, but she understood her image. She understood her value. And when she reached a point where she thought her voice was not what it should be, she said, "That's it. I'm not going to sing anymore." And that's
so don't
it.
Trot
I'm not
me
gonna
out.
Act anymore.
Right.
She didn't want to be just an old ragamuffin doll portraying Doris Day. He said, "No, I did what I did, and that was it."
But when the news of her passing had come about, and McCartney was the one, that's where I found out. I'm on Facebook, and Paul McCartney posts, "Rest in peace, Doris Day." Holy smokes. And he's been giving a number of interviews over in Great Britain and here in the States about his love for her. We both said, "Gee, I wonder if she ever recorded any Beatles music. This would be great for the vitamin B on the mix." And we were shocked. I thought she would have done a whole album of Beatles music.
I could just hear her doing Yesterday.
But she didn't do anything like Yesterday or Something or even Hard Day's Night. She went for this wacky little tune from 1969. And this is Doris Day in Octopus's Garden.
Well, we have Doris doing this for a while, and then we're going to let the Fab Four bring it home.
Yay.
So this will be our vitamin B of the day. This is Doris Day and the Fab Four, the Beatles, with Octopus's Garden.
Doris Day, then
and
the Beatles.
And the Beatles.
That's probably the only time that will ever be said. Except the Beatles song. And this is something else we learned yesterday. The Beatles song where they do a shout out to her because they loved her that
much. The song
much.
Is called, I think, is it Dig It?
Dig It, yeah. Dig It.
They mentioned Doris Day in the
BBC,
song.
You got BBC.
You know what I didn't look for and I shouldn't have last night? Is she on Sergeant Pepper's?
Oh, good. You know,
I wouldn't be surprised. There are a lot of people on that cover, and you have to look hard to see who they are.
But you forget sometimes what an impact she had on the top 40 charts.
Mm-hmm.
Songs like Secret Love that was number one forever.
Que sera, sera.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Another one.
Yeah.
Well,
then,
we all learned a little French, along with the Beatles, with Michelle. Doris Day taught us a little French as well.
Well, again, a wonderful life, 97 years and later in life to be able to have complete control over your life and say, hey, as she said on the T-shirt that she was known to wear, love animals or I'll kill you. She's real subtle, you know.
And every year on her birthday, she would get requests for interviews from all over the world. She only did one interview with a local radio station out in California. I think, was it a Malibu radio station?
Little station.
And that was it. She'd come on and talk to the same guy and, you know, update her life, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yep. Well.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Steve and Johnny to finish off the 9 o'clock hour of The Mix. Bohemian Rhapsody here on The Mix, 98.7 WKGC.
You really have to have a AMC pacer to listen to that song correctly, I think.
That is one of those songs, every time I hear it.
Pacer.
It takes me back to the 70s and WLS.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, at that time, a very tight format. One of the pieces of the format was a format clock that meant any one of the top four records got repeated every 90 minutes. And when the light came on corresponding to number 1, 2, 3, or 4, you had to play that record regardless of where you were in the rotation. And as much as I like Bohemian Rhapsody, it became Not my favorite song, very quickly.
Nails on a Blackboard is what you're saying?
Not quite as bad as when Debbie Boone had You Light Up My Life.
Oh, that would be.
And you got to talk to her about that. You said, please.
And she had a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah, you said, understand. She said, no, don't say another word. I know you love me, but you hate me. Because that's the way the rest of the world feels about me, too. And she laughed all the way to the bank, so that was okay.
Well, did you guys ever review an AMC Pacer? I know you review cars, but have you ever reviewed one?
When you said that, it took me back to college, and I went to University of Tennessee, and we were the Pacers. And the coaches were given Pacers, orange Pacers, big orange Pacers. Well, Tennessee Heat's a lot like Florida Heat, and a Pacer is a lot like an aquarium. These guys are driving around with air on, sweat dripping off of them because it's all this glass around you.
When I first moved here in 1980, I had one. My parents had given it to us, and it is a fishbowl. It's a fishbowl on four wheels.
Yes. Yep.
And shortly after we moved here, I came out I'd kind of gone home for lunch, and I came out after lunch, and this was probably late July, early August of 1980. And I got in the car and went to shift, and the gear shift knob came off in my hand. It had melted.
But
it hurt because I burned myself on the gear shift handle. And that was at that point I realized, unless it's raining, I have to leave the windows down because you'll hurt yourself in one of those things.
You could just melt in there.
And it was truly an ugly car.
Well, it was oddly. It was kind of like the Chrysler, the little milk truck that we were talking about the other day.
PT Cruiser.
Yeah. Yes, we all came up with it after we split. Can I just quickly mention, because you said we review cars, and we do review cars. We've been doing that for 25 years now. He said, she said, 25 years ago, women weren't talking about cars. And we were together all the time. We said, well, wait a minute. Your opinion is different than mine. So we started reviewing cars for Consumer Guide. And you can watch our videos of our road test.
Our video road test,
yes. And all you have to do is go to Steve and Johnny, JOHNNIE.com, and you can find all kinds of things that we're involved in, including our video road test, and we post one at least once a month. These are cars that are brought to us by the manufacturers, not by dealers, so we are not beholden to anyone. We're not going to make or break a dealership if we are honest, which we always are. And for about 5 or 6 minutes, you can find out what we think about these brand new snazmobiles that end up in our driveway.
And just a quick bit of car trivia, the AMC Pacer, its legacy is today's sport utility. Why?
Right.
Actually, today's crossover vehicle, because Dick Teague, who was at that time the designer with AMC, he was doing a lot with a very small budget. The Pacer was not as successful as they wanted it to be, but it led to the Eagle, which was really, it predicted what today's crossover sport utility vehicles would be. It was really the first of that kind of vehicle.
AMC had a lot of really, really good design features. They just didn't quite have the engineering to pull it all off. You know,
they didn't have the money.
They didn't have any money. They weren't big enough, but they had a lot of really cool.
Quirky.
Well, Tom, it's about that time.
It is. Speaking of quirky, we're out of here, right?
Yeah. So I think Caleb's kicking us all out at this point. So
thank you, Steve King, Johnny Putman. I got it right this time.
Thank you,
Award-winning broadcasters. Thank you for spending your time with us.
Thank you so much.
Here, we're going to close out the show with a little Sarah McLachlan, and the B Team takes over the 10 and 11 o'clock hours of the mix.